We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, October 8th, and I am now back on land.
Well, you are a land-going creature, so that was the, like, you always get the questions when you're in the military. They're like, hey, why'd you join the Army? Why not the Navy or the Air Force? I'm like, because the Lord meant for me to walk around this earth on my feet, all right? Like, I don't have gills. I can't be in the Navy. I can't fathom waking up and looking in all four directions and not seeing even a thought of land. All right. I'm too big to fly. Like being cooped up inside a jet. I proved that I would literally rather jump out of an airplane than land in one. All right. It's like, it's the lowest bidder concept. That plane is the lowest bidder, just like everything else. So I have one plane to get me to the ground, or I have two parachutes. By math alone, I'm going to go with two parachutes, and don't feed me the whole you have multiple engines crap.
Anyway, I'm Rob White, Texas Aggie class of 2014.
Yeah, I'm Roy May, an angry old man fighting Texas Aggie class 2015.
Oh, and yeah, the only word I can use for this college football season so far has been a hair bonkers. I feel like there's an energy around it. It kind of reminds me of like 2007. I mean, we're obviously not at that point yet where it's truly that crazy, but it's starting to feel that way, just the way a lot of these games have played out, especially over the last 2 weeks.
Well, it's completely Captain Insano, basically. And the one thing you're concerned about, and I think maybe there's not as much concern this year with the new format, but you know, when things like this start happening, the automatic rumblings are, well, how good is the SEC? What mm-hmm. the hell? And we tried to tell everybody year after year that this conference is a grind, man. And like, it's an absolute grind. It's as close to the NFL as you're going to get, considering, you know, and I understand that the Big Ten also has a ton of people in the NFL, but every year the SEC produces more NFL talent. So every week you're going up against NFL talent, and it's just tough. I mean, it's just tough. Mississippi State, couple of weeks ago, made Texas look moderately pedestrian, at least, you know, for a first or quarter and a half, give or take, against a Texas offense that has been nothing short of high flying, right?
Right.
It's an every week grind. We try to explain that every year when things like this happen, nobody wants to listen, but it is completely bonkers. But with the new 12 team format, it doesn't matter quite as much. You can drop a game. Honestly, you can drop two if you're in the Big Ten or you're in the SEC.
Yeah.
Outside of that, the other conferences, I don't think you can have a two loss, entrance into the playoffs, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be tough because, I mean, you have your four automatic qualifiers. There's going to be some, you know, group of five team that's in there. And
so it's five. Yeah, you really have five automatic qualifiers, quite frankly.
Right. So you're talking about, you know, the other seven spots being just kind of up for grabs. And, you know, if that's a bunch of zero or one loss teams, that's where things get a little hairy, especially if you're, you know, maybe a Big 12 team or somebody that's sitting at one or two losses and you're maybe on the outside looking in there. Certainly could be interesting.
Well, it's a margin of error thing. And again, kind of going back to the whole, you know, how good is the SEC? Because this and that. But the reality is that because the SEC is as good as they are, and because the Big Ten, who is really the second best, you know, P4 conference, mm-hmm. they're allowed a little bit of leeway. And really all you've done by opening up the playoffs to more teams is just allow more teams from those two conferences to enter, which is fine because we want to see the best teams play. We're not trying to, like, no offense to any of the G5 conferences, but we're not like, be realistic with yourself about your ability to compete on the field.
Right.
And so this is where in the SEC, you have a little bit of leeway, right? In the Big Ten, you have a little bit of leeway, and we'll get into. There's a big Big Ten matchup this weekend, and we'll get
Indeed.
into that. But it's just such a grind. They're bigger dudes. They're faster dudes. They play harder and faster coming downhill at you. People get dinged up. All of a sudden, you're relying on depth, and that's where the SEC is. What's really so impressive to me is the depth. It's the ability to take these dings, have these kids on these injury reports, which we now put out just like the NFL, which I have no problem with, by the way. I have no problem with injury reports. But these, you know, it's next man up. But if you're next man up, you know, doesn't cut the mustard, it doesn't matter. So at that point, your depth is what gets you through an SEC season. It's not a great offense. It's not a great defense. It's the ability for people to step up. And kudos to Texas, even though they really haven't played anybody. I mean, Arch Manning was able to step up with Quinn Ewers being hurt and not miss a beat. I mean, he's kind of throwing against secondaries without a pulse, but you know, they were able to do that. You know, you see our defensive line rotation because we have so many dudes across the front, and it's not like the hockey style changes, but it feels like hockey substitutions in the sense that dudes are always on and off and on and off, and it doesn't matter who's in there. We seem to be finding production, you know, out of that defensive line. And that's where you want to talk about wearing down a team, wear down their offensive line and see what happens. Because the offensive line is not well. I mean, ours rotates a little bit. We might be a bit of the exception, but the defensive line's ability to stay fresh, continue to rotate in and wear down that offensive line. It doesn't matter who you play. If you can wear down an offensive line, your offense will become either stagnant or dead in the water. There's that's it. That's kind of it.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you have no talent over top, which A&M clearly has talent over top.
Yeah, no, A&M definitely has talent across the board, and we're seeing that, and we're seeing that talent disparity within our matchup, but that's something we'll obviously get into here very shortly. But, yeah, I mean, there's a very clear divide that the SEC is just, man, heads and shoulders above the rest of the leagues in terms of depth, and that's something that does play out down the stretch when you're getting, you know, especially with this playoff now, it's going to be so important to maintain depth.
Well, you know, and to me, I will say that the Big Ten is not a distant second. I don't think they are. I think maybe the newer additions to the Big Ten are a distant second in depth because they're coming out of the Pac-12, basically. And the Pac-12 has always been just like high flying, let it rip, see what happens kind of conference. And that's okay. Like it was entertaining. I mean, the Pac-12 after dark, those are some of the best games I've ever seen, especially when you take into account that you don't care who wins. But I think when you talk about like the Big Ten blue bloods, and I'm not necessarily saying blue bloods across college, but realistically, if you're a blue blood in the Big Ten, you're pretty much a blue blood. Ohio State, Michigan, you know, they have that depth there, and they've built that depth. But one thing we talked about last week was just what you see because of NIL. There is so much more talent, so much more spread out. I think I'm going to put this statement on the table. I'm curious what you think about it. I don't think that there's a Nick Saban run ever again.
Ever again. Ever's a long time. But
Well, hold on, but also couple in the fact that things are changing legally. That looks like we might be moving towards revenue sharing, or it's like there's a lot of moving pieces that I think all point towards getting away from this NIL free-for-all and maybe a little bit more regulated, enough to the point where the NCAA is going to regulate it and the P4 teams are going to be like, you know what, that works for me, so we're not going to break away from the NCAA. And so if you can see more of that, and if you see the even level of talent, or not even, more evenly dispersed talent. And so will there ever be a run like Saban had at Bama again? Ever?
Maybe. I mean, that's pretty much where I leave it. It's kind of as a maybe, just because once we actually do settle in out of this wild west that is currently college football, and we've established the new norms, we established the new, you know, kind of thought processes of how these things are supposed to work, and hopefully everybody plays along, does their job, It could be interesting to see how it plays out. Now, I think you may see more limited runs, maybe than what you see with Saban, but you will still see teams that are consistently good for, 5, 6 years, maybe longer.
Right, but consistently good isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about winning just a metric shit ton of national
And
championships.
potentially that.
And so, like, and I think what we see, and even though it's very short term and it's kind of short data results, right? We don't have a ton of data right now to even talk about this,
Right.
educated, in an educated manner, which is why we're here, because we're both morons. But I think Kirby Smart, like his run at Georgia, a couple national championships, and we're already seeing a drop off at Georgia, right? So, and I think we'll see things like Kirby. I can't fathom seeing something again like what Nick Saban did. I can't fathom it. Not to mention it, I am thoroughly enjoying Alabama fans crashing back down onto planet Earth and like just crashing into planet reality, basically. Like
Sure.
what Saban accomplished doesn't happen. Like you're not the Celtics. This isn't Red Auerbach, all right? Like you're not going to be great for. Look at the Celtics. They sucked for a really long time too.
Yeah, and I mean they what they won. Let's say they won the last NBA championship, correct? But like during that stretch, it had been a very, very long time since they last won it, and so it's just yeah, it's not going to be. I highly doubt it'll be consistent like we saw with Saban. I will agree with you on that.
I think Kirby is the new consistency moving forward relative to, if we get to revenue sharing, which I'm a huge fan of, by the way,
Sure.
if we get to revenue sharing, and we can move back from the NIL model just a little bit. And so these, players are still getting paid. The whole thing was, we want a whole, we want all this money that the universities are getting, right? Well, then like we said, okay, fine, you can have NIL. That wasn't really coming. It's not coming from the university. So at what point are these universities going to start forking over this money? And that's my biggest complaint. And I think, I don't know if we went into this or not, but it's like, oh, and we're going to, Tennessee's adding $10 or $20 to tickets. And just because this and that and this, and I will say this, and I will preface it by saying we don't talk politics, and I know that, but it's like the politician that pays for all of his ads and everything is done for his campaign. He's got 3 weeks left and he's still asking for more money. Like, you don't get any more. Like, we gave you everything you needed, and what you brought personally to the table was there. All of this extra money can't go to, I mean, it will go to you because how the laws work. But initially, this was all about, I think Louis Belina talked about this a few weeks ago. It was all about all this money the university was making. And so let's make sure that the students get some of the money from the university. But that's the exact opposite of what's happened. All that's happened is now we're allowed to pay them directly. And the university is sitting on these contracts that keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And they're sitting on all this cash and still asking us to pay more. I love Texas A&M University. You know that for a fact. Everybody on here knows that for a fact. If you've never seen this show before, trust me, I bleed maroon. But they're no better than any other university that's just stockpiling cash and asking the fans to make up the difference in this new world of college sports. And it's not just football.
Right. It is across the board. And hopefully we do work more towards that revenue sharing realm. I think that's going to be a lot better for us as a whole.
I think it'll be great for the athletes.
Yeah.
The only person, the only entity that's going to eat on this, like going to have to take it in the face a little bit, is the greedy coffers of the universities that have been sitting on all this money and getting all this money and getting all these payouts. We talk about, man, look at these payouts that we're getting from the SEC. Look at the new network contract that we signed. Man, that's this many tens of millions of dollars for each university. Where the hell is it going? I'm getting asked to pay for Texas Aggies United. I'm getting asked to pay for 12 for 12. I don't have a problem donating to athletes. I think they should get paid. I think the universities have to be held accountable. This is
Agreed.
2 weeks in a row. This is old man ranting. I've got to stop. But
So
I'm not wrong.
that's another
I'm not wrong, though.
that's another edition of Roy's Rants, and we appreciate those. Those are all fun. We got it out of the way early today.
I suppose we did. If we're going to talk, like I saw the questions people asked, if we're going to talk about Texas A&M playing the Sips, I don't, there's going to be another one. You might get a two for today,
Okay,
but
well, before we worry about all that, let's get back on the tracks that don't exist for this podcast. And let's
Oh,
go.
time out. Time out. I want to get back on the tracks. My daughter and I went and ran over today on Welburn off of F&B and went and saw a Big Boy. What is it, 4714? Built in 1941.
Yeah.
One of the last team was just doing like a tour of the heart, basically the kind of the heartland of the United States. We went over there, and I got to be honest, I'm not a train guy. Like I didn't grow up building model trains or any stuff like that. But trains are dope, right?
Oh, yeah.
The trains are like chickens; they're dope. And then obviously my daughter was big Thomas the Train, right? But Thomas the Train didn't exist when I was growing up. But the amount of money I spent on Thomas the Train because my daughter loved it. But to walk up to that, by the way, it's there until I believe 9 a.m. Wednesday morning. So if you get a chance, run over to Welburn and F&B. You can park right over there. They ask you to pay for parking. Feel free to, I guess. Like you're not going to be there for 4 hours. But it really is an amazing piece of American history, built in 1941, and they've got some Union Pacific stuff attached to it. And just to see the magnitude of this steam engine, and think about, the war supplies it pulled in the 40s and the 50s, and just think about the lineage of it. So it's almost 83 years old this year.
Yeah. I saw it when it came through a few years back. I was able to get up to, I think I went and watched it over by Olson because it was just one of those deals. Like, hey, one of the coolest engines that's still around today is rolling through town. Let's be there. Let's take a picture
It's
of it.
just it's a bit of a nerd thing, and I get
Yeah.
it. But I mean, even if you're not a big like choo-choo guy,
Planes,
and
trains, and
well,
automobiles.
and well, and we have planes, trains, and automobiles. Yeah,
That's
well,
boys.
if you love Aggie baseball, everybody loves a choo-choo. And if and at midnight yell, everybody likes to choo-choo, like rah rah rah, like
Oh,
everybody
yeah,
loves a
we love
choo-choo.
the
I
choo-choo.
get this, but this isn't a piece of absolutely Americana history. You will be fascinated about the magnitude of the engineering that they were able to pull off, basically in 1941. So total nerd moment, but you said back on the tracks, and I had to, like, literally it's sitting on the tracks right now. And so but back on the track, figuratively, let's talk about just an absolute smackdown at Kyle Field.
Yeah, let's kick off. I mean, that's how Saturday started, so let's go into it. You know, we have Texas A&M hosting number 9 Missouri and just absolutely taking them to the cleaners in every sense of the word.
That's how your Saturday started if you're not a Premier League fan. Anyways.
Well, hey, my Premier League, I wasn't gonna we were talking football, Roy. We're not talking
Yeah.
soccer yet.
I'm talking football too. All you degenerates that call it soccer.
Footy,
Don't
you
even.
will.
We could probably do an entire episode about calling it football or calling it soccer and how it's
Hey, you
quit
know what?
calling it
It's
soccer, mate.
Tuesday, ain't it? Let's jump on the podcast and talk a little footy.
Quit calling it soccer, mate.
Hey, they called it soccer first.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. We could go through it, but anyways. So you kick off the slate. I'm sure there's concern about 11 a.m. kickoff, right? We talked about it, but I thought, and I think I was proven right. 12th man showed up. Oleg showed up. I thought it was a little unfortunate. It didn't look all the way packed to the top, but man, the 12th man was loud. 12th man was loud, and so it's like chicks dig the long ball, right? We said this before.
Oh, yeah.
Offense puts butts in the seats, but defense wins championships.
Well,
And we went out there, and it wasn't just on the offensive side of the ball, although the way we started was fantastic. And to see Connor back there slinging it like he hadn't missed a beat.
yeah.
Connor looked great. Receivers looked great. Offensive line looked great. The run game looked great. And then obviously they put up 10 points total. I think Elko talked about this. It's been an interesting kind of mixture of sometimes we're like waiting to start the game even though the game has started,
Right.
but then we get up big and we don't stay on their throat, right? And so third quarter's a little lame. The best thing I thought that I saw out of Saturday was the start of third quarter. Le'Veon Moss rips one off, and Elko mentioned this too, so I'm sure he's as happy as I was. Then we turn around and get a three and out.
No, you set the tone right out the gate at the start of the second half. That's how, I mean, how you start each half is so vastly important. I think, a lot of people talk about, second quarter, fourth quarter, those are kind of like the big times because a lot of the play out is already happening and it's like, how do you adjust to what happened? I think it's so vastly important for how you start a game and how you start your third quarter because those are the big momentum shifts, right? You've had the big talk at the beginning of the game. Here's our goals. Here's what we're trying to do. And you go out and accomplish those things right out the gate. You're feeling solid, right? Let's say you didn't get the best start in the first half and you need to make adjustments for the second half, right?
I don't
You
know that it's momentum so much as tempo.
Right. Well, I mean,
Right.
yeah. So what I'm getting at is, start of the third quarter, A&M's up 24-0, right? And you have effectively done your job in the first half. You did not let them score points. You scored plenty of points. Now your job is to continue that trend, right? So what do? You rip off a 75-yard run right out the gate and then shut it down because that's what we're trying to do here.
I did not know Le'Veon Moss had that kind of straight line speed.
He's pretty quick.
Full disclosure, had no idea. And if you watch the clip, I didn't know Noah Thomas was that fast. Did you see that guy catch him? And Le'Veon Moss was going back to the train, man, all steam ahead, man. Well, that's actually a Navy thing, but just barreling as fast as this guy can go because he knows people are coming, right? And you're running towards. No, you're running towards the big screen so you can see the people behind you, right? It's like the NFL, like the Marshawn Lynch thing. They don't look behind, they just look up these days. But for Noah Thomas to just completely catch up like it was nothing. I mean, I knew he was fast, but that's fast, fast, right? Well, we talked about Missouri. We thought they were overrated, but Missouri, I don't think Missouri is a crap team. I'm still 50-50 on that because they did play what appears to be a good Vandy team.
Yeah, they appear to be
I
that.
don't think that BC is completely crap. What a world we live in. Vandy and BC are decent at football, right?
It's a weird year.
I didn't think they were a top 10 team, but I was fine with the ranking. We beat them. They were number nine, so fine. I don't care what they end up as. Like, they were number nine, so
Yeah, I
deal
mean,
with it.
it's a cloud. I mean, I would say it's a good resume booster, right? And that's something that you want. And not to mention the largest win against an AP ranked team ever, or like, was it top 10 team ever? Whatever it was.
Man, and talk about it, man, talk about scoring. Hold on, I gotta address this. Eli Drinkwitz, and I was so proud of it. Elko mentioned this in his press conference. So proud of them. Super late in the game, like it doesn't matter if they score, but it mattered to Texas A&M if Missouri scored, and so I was so thrilled to see them put up that defensive stand, and then that sorry little SOB runs the field goal kicker out at the end of the game. To literally make the over. I'm not saying that he's gambling on games he's coaching, but in what world is he not gambling on that game to make the over to go from what's the difference between 41-7 and 41-10? It's nothing. You getting into
Nothing.
double digits is nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It means you're trash. It means you're a lot of things that I'm not going to say on this podcast. Because we like to put it out on all levels, but just an absolute B move, straight up B move. And I would love to see some explanations as to what the crap that was about.
I think my favorite part about that whole deal was just the fact that we did get the stop. They basically had eight tries.
Yeah, 7 or 8 tries. Yeah,
Seven or
they
eight
didn't
tries, and they were
score.
forced to kick a field goal. I mean, love that. Absolutely
They
love that.
They even kicked it from further back than they started.
Right, because
So,
we blew up that first play, first and goal, when they were at the half yard line. It's like that's what you want to see out of a team. I love the mindset of, hey, there are no free passes around here. We're not giving you that pity touchdown. You're going to have to earn
oh,
it.
I absolutely love it, and it like that is the mentality, and I get that. Like I said, offense. Put seats, puts butts in seats, right? That pays a lot of bills when you have a high flying offense.
Right.
It's like Ole Miss, right? Ole Miss is not having a hard problem putting butts in seats because Ole Miss has no problem winning 70 to 50, right? A win's a win, and we scored 70. We don't care how many they scored. We don't care if we just put up 9,000 yards of offense combined between the two teams. Like, yeehaw, it was a ton of fun. But Aggies love defense.
Oh yeah, we do. And if you go back, I mean, we were talking about it a little bit on the boat, my buddy James and I, just the whole thought process, obviously with, the old adage, right? The old wrecking crew, right? I'm not necessarily placing that label with anything, of course, but it's one of those things. People love that mindset. They love the idea of
Aggies.
defense goes out there. Yes.
Aggies love that
Aggies
mindset.
love that. We go out there, we want to be able to shut them down and be able to hit them with that if we can. It's a beautiful thing when it does happen. 2010, my freshman year of college, that was so much fun seeing us shut down Oklahoma, shut down Nebraska, shut down Baylor, and really shut down Texas too. I mean, you did a great job of the back half of that season, win six straight games, mostly defensive, and that was awesome to watch, just as a fan of defense. So
I mean, 9-6 was a little brutal,
I
but
loved it though. It was so
yeah,
fun.
looking back, I loved it. But during the game, that's just like absolute just squeaky bum time, man.
Well, you gotta understand, as a freshman sitting on the track, not even sitting on the track, I am standing on top of the chair that I'm supposed to be standing in front of on the track, so I can watch the video board in order to be able to even have a clue what was going on. I didn't watch hardly any of that game, but I will say I did not have a voice the next day, and that towel went flying in the air like everybody else's.
Well, all right. I'm going to go back here. So we've talked about this weeks, right?
Yeah, our game.
And starting maybe the second week, maybe the third week, but we didn't know exactly who this team was going to be, right? We didn't know the identity, new coaching staff across the board. You just never know, right? And the Notre Dame game felt like a kick, kick in the junk. But what do we ask for at that point? I want to see us improve every week, right? I want to see us
Yes.
improve every week. And what have we seen? We've seen improvement every week. And I think we've seen it on both sides of the ball. So I'm going to say that to say this. You said, and you mentioned it. You're like, I'm not trying to say wrecking crew or anything like that. I think there are two lovely nomenclatures that or monikers actually is probably the correct vocabulary. I think that if we continue to see improvement throughout the year, by the end of the year, we might be saying Wrecking Crew and Maroon Goons.
Indeed.
And I think the Maroon Goons might be a little bit closer just because there's still some issues between the linebacker and the secondary here and there.
Sure.
The defensive line, it's hard to, I mean, you can point out flaws, but it's hard to point out flaws in the defensive line. If we can get, honestly, if we can get improved linebacker play, I think between the defensive line, if we can get basically the front, right? We get the defensive front to improve, aka the linebackers, that solves some of the problems that we've seen over a couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden you're talking about a defense that it's a defense. And I think that what's fascinating about on the offensive line, we talked about the rotation, right?
Right.
Like it's not hockey, but like we've been able to plug and play on the offensive line without a whole lot of hiccups. Look at our running game, man.
It's been outstanding. And we've seen better production with our quarterbacks on both front, like for both of them. How many sacks have we given up on the air?
Hey, I don't know the number, but it's not a lot.
It's not a lot, and we've seen some great receptions. We've seen some very good runs. We've seen much better quarterback play obviously out of Connor. Obviously with what's going on with Reed is what it
This is the
is.
last I'm going to say about our game because I'm trying not to get too hyped up. We're heading into a bye week too, so right, like
We
we're not going
are.
to lose. We're not going to lose. Yeah, I guarantee the Aggies don't lose this week.
The way we don't lose this week is no injuries, no rests.
I 100%. Oh, hold on. Put a pin in the whole Georgia thing. I want to talk about that, by the way.
I
But yeah,
saw that today.
just stay safe. No injuries, no stupidity. Get rest, heal, because you still got an entire half of the season to play. You do get one more bye week, and I got to be honest, I kind of like the double bye week thing. It gives
Sure.
you a little bit more time on the super back end to maybe get a little bit better, because at that point of the season, everybody could use some rest, right?
Right. Well,
But
I'm
I don't want to say a ton more about the Aggs. I'm trying not to get super hyped up and ridiculously like maroon Kool-Aid, but there very well could be, right? Let me hedge just as hedge as shit hedges, right? This very well could be one of the best teams we've seen at Texas A&M relative to the results. Don't talk to me about position groups or anything like that. Relative to the results on the field in the last 20, 30 to 20, excuse me, about 25 years, this might be one of the best teams results-wise that we see. There's a ton that goes in between now and then. We're heading into a bye week, so it's easy to be super positive, come off a top 10 win.
Right.
But that Notre Dame win or that Notre Dame loss,
Yeah.
I mean, does anybody care right now?
Well, it doesn't really reflect who we are. Very, very few games that take place that early in the season are very reflective of a team as they go down the rest of their stretch, right? And we were one of the few teams that was slated to play a top-level opponent opening week. That's why we got to host game day. It's why it was a whole big deal. And we play Notre Dame tough. And I love people that have been quoting, oh, you lost Notre Dame and you lost by double digits. Like, yeah, but it was a tie ball game with 2 minutes to go. You know, it's one of those, yes, they score and then they turn around and get the extra points after we tried too hard to score the other direction. It happens in
As,
football all the time.
right, but as long as Notre Dame keeps winning, who cares?
Who cares? And
Like,
we've been, yeah.
it
It's like, we
makes me want to like chew on some nails to say it, but I need Notre Dame to win out.
It's like have Notre Dame continue to win, but I think the other thing that I also liked is looking back at our schedule within the SEC right now. You look at what happened with Florida, what happened with Arkansas this week, both of them getting their wins, and that's just helping our resume out a bit as well, especially coming off of the fact that Arkansas, you know, that was a tough game last week that we won, and then Arkansas goes on to win this Tennessee game, and it was like,
Well, and
whew.
again, the transitive property is crap,
It is, but
but maybe our offense wasn't as pedestrian considering they held an incredibly high flying Tennessee offense to a pedestrian amount. So that's,
exactly.
again, I don't like the transitive property, but
It's tough.
a defense is a defense,
It
right?
is.
That, and that's, I think you can do transitive when you talk about maybe offensive defensive matchups as opposed to, well, we beat them and they beat them, and so we should beat them, right?
Right.
But
So
real quick,
exciting. Yeah.
yeah, no, I'm trying to get past it because I'm trying to like I have 2 weeks. I have to temper my excitement, right?
It's all good.
And so into a place in Starkville that has been a trap game, but we'll get into that next week
Sure.
or trap location.
Trap location.
Real quick, Georgia, all
Georgia.
these reckless driving, all these driving offenses, all these traffic offenses. You're like, dude. Come on, Kirby, what are you doing?
Right.
This charge that just came out makes you go, there's a problem at Georgia.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's a legitimate problem at Georgia. I don't have anything else to say about it. I'm not going to expand on it. I'm not even going to say his name. I'm not going to talk about the charges. If you don't know, look it up. It is not a traffic violation. This is a little bit more extreme. And if
Yeah.
this were a one-off, it would be one thing. But think about the 5 bajillion traffic charges and reckless driving of these kids acting like complete idiots on a regular basis is what it's been. And then you add in this charge. And and again, he may not be indicative of the locker room environment, blah, 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 blah. But when you start to stack up the amount of disciplinary issues that Georgia is having, you start to wonder, does Mark Richt have any control over this locker room right now?
Kirby.
Or excuse me. Yeah, Mark Richt always had control.
But
Does Kirby Smart
you're not.
have any control over this locker room right now? Because there's a big difference between driving 90 and a 70 and beating on somebody.
Right. No, you're not wrong. And there seems to be some character issues there that are being overlooked in terms of production. And that's potentially, I mean, if that's obviously what the case is here. That's not a good deal.
It's gross. It's
It's not
gross.
good.
I'll leave it at that. Yeah, y'all can look up all the Georgia stuff you want to. I'm not going to even give them credit for being idiots.
No, but
All right. Let's get into last week's picks real quick.
yeah, let's get the picks.
Right. So you went 3-2. I went 4-1. I'm widening the gap, if you will. I'm currently 18 and 12. You're 16 and 14. So
Still over 500 at this point. I'm happy.
I know, right? So Michigan at Washington, we both picked UW, and I'm so glad because I think deep down in our hearts we understand that that has implications about how good Texas looks, and we're a bunch of maroon and white brats, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, what talking rematch of the national title game? Granted, these are not the same two teams.
Not the same dude. Yes, everything's different,
Everything's
but.
different, but you're talking Washington, Michigan, and this was a game that coming into it, I mean, we both thought Washington was going to have a pretty good firm hand on. Obviously, Michigan was up, for the majority of the game, and then you have Washington come back and put on a pretty healthy fourth quarter pull away.
I was surprised that Michigan actually showed up the way they did. I don't have a whole lot of faith in Michigan. But yeah, great game by Washington. Next one we picked was Syracuse at UNLV. UNLV was 6.5 point favorites at home. And again, I picked that game because it was a close line. I don't think you and I ever watch a ton of Syracuse or UNLV football. But we both picked UNLV, and quite frankly, I mean, we both blew it, obviously. But with the UNLV quarterback thing, fine. Fine. I hate to see the team suffer for it, but fine. I'm okay with this. Next one we picked was SMU at Louisville.
Yeah,
So
missed that
you
one.
went, yeah. So Louisville was 7-point favorites at home. So this doesn't exactly help, bolster Notre Dame's resume by any means. But
No.
yeah, you picked Louisville because they're 7-point favorites. They didn't get, torched by Notre Dame. So you figure they're a good football team. I picked SMU because they've chosen to be like the bad boys.
They
And
have.
like that narrative. And so SMU pulled it off. So I got that one right. Moving on to Miami Cal, lots of questionable things in that game, but we both picked Miami. So we both got it. And of course, we both picked the Aggs. I went 4-1. You went 3-2. And just
Now,
as a reminder, currently, they're not currently, but it's just a reminder, preseason, I went 10-2. Rob went 9-3. And I said 11-3 with a bowl. And Rob said 10-3 with a bowl. So just a reminder, that's kind of our long-term projections. So I got five games for you, and what it's supposed to be a fantastic slate this weekend, by the way.
All
Because I think there's a lot of games with big spreads that if we were picking on the spread, like I think there's a lot of money to be made this weekend if you are so inclined to put real money on
Yeah,
college football games.
some of these spreads are interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. And we will get into those in just one second. All right. And we're back. Roy had to get a sneeze in.
No, it's not a sneeze, bro. I sneeze in triplets. Normally, it's always in threes. Sometimes it comes in like 38s. I don't ask.
Yeah, it's
I don't
fine.
know where it comes from. All right. So, anyways, back to your regularly scheduled programming. So we're going to start with again, there's some great games on the slate this week. There's one that's okay, but I still want to pick, and I haven't decided if we want to pick it on the spread or just straight up, but I'm going to start with probably the big, well, obviously not even probably the biggest clash of the weekend, right? Ohio State goes out to Eugene, Oregon. Ohio State is 3-point favorites on the road. Love what Dan Lanning's been doing in Oregon. Ohio State is the juggernaut that they are, whether or not that makes me want to throw up or not. We don't pick on spreads, we just pick winners. So, do you want me to start? I can start. I'll go ahead and take one.
Go ahead.
All right. I quack, quack.
All right.
I'm actually going to take Oregon to win this game straight up. I love what Dan Lanning's doing out there. I think Ohio State's outstanding. I think, again, this is one of those, it's like Michigan going to Washington, tight game. Ohio State traveling to Eugene. If this were in Columbus, I'd probably take Ohio State.
Yeah, I would normally take Ohio State here too. I will not be taking Ohio State because I'm considering the time frame. Okay, if we're talking gonna be a later game. It's gonna be one of those deals, obviously going out to the West Coast.
Oh, I didn't even look at the kick time. Is it a late kick?
I don't know if this is accurate. It says 6:30 p.m. I'm wondering if that's central, though. Regardless, like I said, going out to the West Coast, that's a tough deal. And yeah, I don't know. With this being an at home at Oregon, I know a lot of the metrics are really liking Ohio State in this game, but I'm honestly feeling Ducks. I think the Ducks might pull this one out.
Well, and again, we always talk about it, you get 3 points for read at home. So Ohio State is 3 points favorite. That's a 6 point swing. Like
Right.
everybody, like this should be Ohio State. For some reason, I just have this feeling that Oregon at home, Eugene is a crazy environment,
It is.
right? They're in the Pacific Northwest. The weather's about to get really crappy and rainy and cold for the next 9 million months. And so I for some reason I can't put my finger on it, but I really like Oregon in this game.
Yeah, I'm feeling Oregon too. I mean, you have Ohio State coming off of a pretty healthy win last week back home at the Shoe. I mean, you take care of business against Iowa, one of the better defensive teams.
Oregon has not been bad.
Oregon has not been bad at all.
And they get him at home. Again, if this were in the Shoe, like if this were in Columbus, I would probably take Ohio State. I think this is a coin toss game. I don't think
Yeah.
Ohio State should be -3.
It feels like a pick'em. It really does. But I think I got to lean home field advantage on this one. So
Yeah, I'm
Oregon.
going with Ducks. So I'll let you pick the next one first. Ole Miss travels to Death Valley. Ole Miss is 2.5 point favorites on the road.
I have no clue about this game. I have
I don't think
nothing
anybody
for it.
does.
I have
I
nothing for it. This it could be a blowout. It could be a defensive nightmare. It could be a shootout. It could be a million different things. All I know is it's going to be craziness. But the fact it's in Baton Rouge, I'm going LSU.
taking LSU.
Yeah, I will take LSU in this game. Here's the thing, Ole Miss, right now, yeah, they took care of business against South Carolina last week. All the good stuff. I think they showed some weak spots there in their matchup with Kentucky. I don't know, man. It's feeling like LSU to me for this particular game. I just don't have much else to say. It's a weird one.
I think Mississippi State's the worst team in the SEC.
Yes.
I think LSU might be one of the worst defenses in the SEC.
They're not good.
And against a Lane Kiffin offense, who, and you know how he is. I've got Ole Miss in this game. And honestly, if this were 7.5, I would take Ole Miss.
All right.
I think Lane Kiffin's going to lay on it. I think the LSU defense is terrible. So I'm going to take Ole Miss in this game.
Which is all the more reason why I think I'm going to pull for LSU, just because it's in Baton Rouge and things get wacky and it's a rivalry.
Hey, no, look, playing in Baton Rouge is a nightmare to begin with. Like, even just driving there and parking and getting to the stadium is a nightmare. Everything about Baton Rouge is a nightmare. Like,
I
and don't
mean,
drive if you have a maroon vehicle. Don't get like it's a whole lot of bad.
yeah.
So next one, we're gonna jump back out of the SEC. I've got Iowa State at West Virginia, and Iowa State is a 3 point favorite, which I think tells you how much people, or at least Vegas, believes in West Virginia.
And
This is
what?
not the Iowa State of old,
No.
but this is not the West Virginia we thought we were going to get this year.
No.
I think West Virginia has been disappointing, quite frankly. I thought West Virginia should have been, head and shoulder above the majority of the competition in the conference, and they've shown kind of the opposite.
Yeah, they've been a little underwhelming, and Iowa State has been outstanding. Granted, this is a night game in Morgantown.
Oh yeah, this is my pick. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm taking WVU. There will be couches burning everywhere.
All right.
Weird things happen in Morgantown. Who are you taking?
Iowa State.
All right,
I'll go
so that's
Cyclones. And the reason I'm going Cyclones is because, frankly, they proved me wrong after that Iowa game. And frankly, they haven't really shown much to me that they were not going to do a great job. I did not much care for how they performed down the stretch in that Baylor game. But
I thought that was a little shocking, quite frankly.
it was, I
Baylor's
think
bad.
they
Baylor's
are.
bad.
I think they correct it and they go and take care of business against West Virginia this week because I'm not seeing it from them right now.
Yeah, I can't imagine there will be another Baylor game that we picked this year. They're just bad. There's the spreads are going to be shit. Like, it's just not good.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to go back to Ole Miss LSU real quick. I forgot to mention this. So Peter Burns, ESPN, I think everybody loves Peter Burns, you know, SEC Network.
Yeah.
You're talking about the fake injury stuff. And so that's why I went back to the Ole Miss game. And he's talking about, you know, just it's just so egregious. And we see it when you see the replay, you see it, and it's even worse. And he says the fix for faking injury is a simple one. Player leaves the game that requires stoppage of play, they sit out the series. If the league office should also be able to review the film and see if he was told to fake it, then it's a $50,000 fine. I don't know what the fix is, but there needs to be something. Lane Kiffin saw it happen to him. He's seen it all over the place. He's done it himself. And what, you know what he's seen? No repercussions. None.
No, if you gave me the keys to the situation and said you figure it out, what would be your plan? It'd be a very simple in-game fix. I completely agree with the idea of pulling them out of the game. Or if they have to leave the game and you want to get that guy back in, you have to burn a timeout to do it.
So here's my catch. And I like where you're going with that too. I understand that because even with real injuries or like when the helmet pops off, right? You can
Right,
call a timeout
we're
for the
talking.
stand.
Yeah, we're
Right.
talking safety here, right? We're trying to protect players. Take him out of the game. He doesn't come back for the rest of the series.
Don't think the fine is necessary. I think pull him for the rest of the quarter.
That's a big one.
And if it happens within 2 minutes of the end of the quarter, it's like treat it like targeting. Maybe start treating it like targeting, right? All right.
Review it.
You know what? All right, there's another idea. Discuss amongst yourselves. Chickpeas at night, the chicks, no peas. Discuss. But we got to move on. Sorry.
You're good.
Vandy at UK. Kentucky is a 14-point favorite at home against a Vandy team that just beat the mighty elephants that use a lot of toilet paper
So the question now becomes,
and detergent.
does Vandy come too far off the mountain after winning that game?
Do they have any gas in the tank left after that?
Right, and this is a better Vanderbilt team than we've seen. I will fully 100% say that.
Since James Franklin, this is the best Vanderbilt team we've seen.
Oh yeah, well, and I respect their starting quarterback. He's a New Mexico product. He's from Albuquerque originally.
He's a
Went to
dog.
NIMI, ended up going to New Mexico State, and now he's over at Vanderbilt. He's doing a great job with them. He's been outstanding. Diego Pavia. Yeah, he's been great both on the ground and the pass.
I don't want to pick the spread, so we're going to pick this straight up. And so both teams have impressive wins, right?
They do. I mean, Kentucky takes down a very high-powered Ole Miss team and holds them to 17 points, and they're coming off of a bye.
Yeah.
Kentucky.
You're taking Kentucky.
I'm taking Kentucky, man. I don't. I think Vanderbilt falls too far the other direction. I think the pendulum has to swing. I don't think it's a momentum thing for Vanderbilt. I think it has to swing and it's on the road. I think there's enough factors going against them. It's going to be Kentucky. Go Big Blue.
I think Stoops is about as a meh coach as you get. So
Sure.
I don't know that a bye week necessarily helps other than people getting healthy.
Rest. Yeah.
But we've seen Vandy play well, but what that quarterback with
Yeah.
Pavia,
Yeah, Pavia.
what he did was otherworldly though.
Sure.
That's not a performance that's sustainable if you're not Johnny Manziel. I get that Johnny Manziel was his idol and blah, 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 freaking blah. The reality is, you can't maintain that if you're on the road. That's my thought.
Okay.
I think if this was Kentucky at Vandy, I would probably take Vandy. I'm not kidding.
It
Boy, I don't
would.
care. I don't care if Kentucky was 11 point, for like, take the three for being on the road. If Kentucky was 11 point favorites, I'd probably still take Vandy. But I just, with a bye week and the fact that he's got to go on the road and all the like physical and emotional just expenditures to beat Alabama, I would be shocked if Vandy does it. So I'm going to take Kentucky along with you.
Okay, I was about to say, I was like, I just, I, and the
I'm
thing is,
telling you, if this were in Nashville, I would take Vandy. I'm telling you.
And if Vandy finds a way to win this game, more power to them. But
I'll take the L. I'll take it all
I'll
day.
take the L all day, but I just don't see it progressing.
No. All right. So the last pick, I feel like you probably know where this is going. And for all you kids that think rivalry is what we called things, that's not what we called it. And I'm not ever going to call it that. This is the Red River Shootout.
It's always been the Red River Shootout. I don't
Not the
care.
Red River rivalry. It's not the Lone Star rivalry. It's not blah, blah. The Washington Bullets don't need to be the Wizards. All right. Get over yourself. All right. This is the Sips versus the Sooners. Texas State Fair and the Cotton Bowl, which is a complete shithole and needs a complete renovation. It's so bad. But the Sips are 14 and a half point favorites over, unfortunately, a really pedestrian blow you. I guess
Which is why I'm going to pick Oklahoma, and here's why. Follow my thought
do
process
not
here.
start singing Boomer Sooner, at least not yet.
No, sir. You will never catch me singing that song on this podcast. I don't care if they do beat them.
You only catch me on the Saturday when they beat him, so we won't be recording. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you will not be catching that. Here's why I'm picking Oklahoma. It's very, 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 very simple. Okay. Rewind the clock. Back to the year of our Lord 2007, right? We had a lot of deals that were going on, right? Where it seemed to be the number two team every week was taking an L, right? Well, here's the deal. Number one has taken an L 2 weeks in a row. And now you have Texas coming off a bye, feeling pretty good about themselves going up.
Pretty good.
Yeah, they're feeling pretty good about themselves going up against OU in the Cotton Bowl, where things tend to get hairy as
You want
they
to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Great Michael Keaton reference there. All right. It is going to be Oklahoma. It's going to be absolutely ridiculous, and I cannot wait.
And it's totally okay if, while not recording, specifically just to shove it down anybody's throat, you sing Boomer Sooner. I learned the words to this song specifically because I hate the Sips so much that when I saw them started running it up when I was a kid, I would sing along with the band just because I hated Texas so much.
And
It's literally that bad.
it is the simplest lyrics on the planet.
I'm sooner born and sooner bred, and when I die, I'll be sooner dead. Rucklahoma, 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 go you.
Yep.
Yep. Hey, I'll fine. Take it.
I learned
Clip
it because
it, share it, don't care.
it's a simple song. But yes.
Bro, I'm trying to win in these picks, though. All right. And Texas is more than a two touchdown favorite. And quite frankly, what we've seen from them, even though it's been from inferior kind of talent so far,
You actually going to do it?
it doesn't matter who they have under center so far, right?
Right.
I mean, no, seriously. Like, I just, they've been able to air it out, even though they had troubles with Mississippi State. OU is not Mississippi State. This is a Big 12 matchup still. Until OU is in the SEC long enough and has the defensive depth, excuse me, they're not like Mississippi State, which is a crazy statement to make, quite frankly,
You're right.
that Mississippi State may possibly somehow in some world actually be better than OU. But in some worlds, I bet that they are. If we broke down both rosters, I bet that they are. I have no faith in OU's offense. I have no faith in OU's defense. OU can't run the ball. They don't seem to be able to throw the ball. They can't really score much. So I'm taking the Sooners.
My man. Always. And
Yep. Yeah. I just,
you
you know me, I'll never pick Texas.
know
It could be Texas against Bryan High School. I'd be like, well, you know, they might have a chance. You know, Bryan can really run the ball between the tackles. Yeah.
see, I was so proud because you said earlier in the season that you would never pick Texas, and I'm sitting there like,
Had you going, didn't I?
I figured you were gonna pull something fast, but I'm glad that you did.
Well, but for those of y'all watching, I was super serious face. I'm very proud of that.
Hey, you know what? Great poker face. I'm a big fan.
Donka, I'm quite good at poker.
It's good.
So real quick, we're gonna end this because we've actually been rolling for quite a while. We were curious if we had enough content, but just real quick, obviously everything that's going on with the continued rescue efforts and everything. In North Carolina, and just that entire region, quite frankly. And now we're staring down the barrel of, was it Milton?
Yeah, Milton's the big
Yeah,
one.
Milton's heading towards Florida. I wanted to take this opportunity, and if you share this out and it's only for this last few minutes, just for education wise. Rob is like super into weather, like super like understands it and studies it and understands it all. He's educated me a ton. And so with Milton bearing down on Florida, I wanted to give Rob just a second to explain kind of the severity of like or the different aspects of a hurricane and what makes it maybe worse than better. We don't need to, compare necessarily to like the last one to this one, but just
Sure.
talking about some of the major ones and what to look for when you see, wow, there's a tropical depression or there's a hurricane in the Gulf.
Yeah.
What do all these numbers mean? And so I wanted Mark to break, or excuse me, Mark, sorry.
You're fine.
I wanted Rob to break this down, just so you guys would understand when you're seeing things, and maybe you have family kind of in the path. I've got some friends, I've got family that are in the path of this one, and so I've been leaning on Rob quite a bit. So, Rob, if you want to, just real quick, if you want to kind of, as best you can, layman's terms, but also, talk about the numbers because the news and the Weather Channel, they show the numbers.
Right. And obviously everybody's really hyped up about what's been going on with this storm. People are talking about, the incredible severity of it and all this other stuff. And fact of the matter is, with Hurricane Milton coming in, it has reachieved Category 5 status. I have to stress, anything pretty much Category 3 and above is a bad, bad day for anybody that's going to get hit. And five is well beyond the scope of the upper level limits of the potential. Now, this
There is
particular,
no Cat Six.
right, there is no Cat 6. Five and anything like five above, that's just going to be total devastation. Now, where we're currently sitting with the hurricane, once again, it has reachieved five status. It's currently sitting at about what we call, as far as millibars, that's pressure. We're talking low pressure. And typically, what happens when we talk about low pressure, that means there's a lot of air flowing into an area because there's physically less air there. So, when you see the number like 1,000 or 900, whatever the millibar numbers are, when the lower they get, the stronger the storms will be. And it's a bigger issue. So, you see that at this particular point with this
And it's
hurricane.
little m big b millibars, right? That's
Yes.
the numbers they're giving you, right? So
Right.
it's 900 mb, like those are millibars. The lower it is, the worse it is, correct?
Correct. That's absolutely correct. Once you get above, once you get below 1,000, that's when storms really start kind of going off. And what you're seeing here is, we had a storm that at one point was sub 900. It was at 897 millibars. Only a handful of hurricanes in history have hit that number, and those are the type of hurricanes that wipe out everything. I think my favorite example that I have had to use just to kind of be a visual reference is a Hurricane Camille, which is one of the all-time worst to ever hit the United States. And it was sitting at about 175 mile an hour, 900 millibars, and it was flattening apartment complexes, houses, everything was gone. And we're talking total devastation here. And then what to make it even worse, this particular storm is anticipating to do serious storm surge damage. And when we say storm surge, we're saying the actual physical ocean is being pushed up into these waterways, into these areas. So like a bay, like Tampa Bay, when you're seeing this kind of water being forced onto shore, that's like the big thing you always see on TV, right? You see the wind, you see the rain, but you start seeing the water starting to creep up over, the bulkheads, they start moving into the streets.
And
That's storm surge.
difference between storm surge and tsunamis, because I guarantee you anybody listening to this has seen videos of tsunamis. So what's the difference between a storm surge and tsunami relative to water coming on shore?
So a tsunami is essentially created by a tremor of some form, whether that might be a earthquake, rock slides, those happen a lot, especially up in like Norway and stuff. But typically, when you think of like the typical big tsunami,
Think
let's
of
say
Asia,
like,
you think of like the fire rim, you think of underwater volcano or
right.
underwater earthquakes that cause a surge.
Right. A surge is strictly just bringing the water with the storm, and it is flowing into the land, and it will go. And we're talking right now, Tampa Bay, the whole region around Tampa Bay, they're talking 10 to 15 feet minimum.
That's frightening. Now, Tampa is not it's not like New Orleans where it's built below sea level.
No.
15 feet is, I mean, you guys seen a basketball goal, right? That's 10, all
Yeah, it's
right?
above that.
So just I know this is not really normally what we cover, but I thought it would be I have friends and family in Florida that are kind of staring right down it. So,
Right.
just it gets kind of like the more you know kind of thing.
Right. So if
And
you're one of these
don't be
people that,
stubborn. Don't be
yeah.
stubborn.
I would say if you are down in that region, by all means, if you have not gotten out already, you need to as soon as humanly possible
Land
because it's
call is 1 in the morning, right?
at 1 a.m.
Or
Thursday
1
is what we're looking at for Glanville.
local time, 1 a.m. I thought it was Wednesday. Is it Thursday?
It's 1 a.m. Thursday currently.
Oh, that's right. It's strengthened and it's slowed. Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
Which
that's
is
what
a
we were
bad
aiming for.
combination on both fronts.
Yeah.
So,
But,
we're hoping that there's going to be some wind shear, which basically wind shear, that's what we talk about, changing of wind direction with height. That's really good for tornadoes. That's not very good for hurricanes. Hurricanes are very delicate creatures. And the moment you start throwing in like, wind shear or other temperature factors, it
Yeah, five
really,
to four to three to two.
right, it starts screwing with it. So we can hope that this thing weakens a bit before it makes landfall. It's still showing to be a major hurricane. So that's going to be 110 mile an hour plus. You don't want to be out in that. You don't want to be dealing with that. If you're not already out of Florida, you need to get out.
100%.
So that was a big thing we wanted to stress. We did have a couple of questions I wanted to touch on before we cut loose here. John Patterson, one of our buddies, he said, "Is the world ready for A&M versus Texas on November 30th? Then the rematch the next weekend for the SEC championship. I'll hang up and listen."
This is a world that I have not, like, I don't know about the world. I'm not ready to quite think about this just yet, because Mississippi State, and we'll get into it next week. I mean, I feel good about it coming off a bye week, and I get that we're not great in Starkville, but I'm okay with it. South Carolina seems like the trap game of all of them. If
Right.
LSU were in, if LSU were in Death Valley, I'd be really concerned. Getting LSU here, I think, it does a lot, quite frankly, for my psyche. I only thing I'm ready to worry about is playing the Sips once. And with any luck, because there's already tweets out there saying, I'm already tailgating for the Georgia game. Bro, you kind of have a football game this week.
A big one, really.
A little bit, and one that's always a little bonkers. And so I'm not ready for that because I'm not ready to say that Texas is going to be in the SEC championship.
Right. And
That's my take on it right now. I don't know that we are, but I don't think there's any guarantee that they're going to be.
well, it's wild because if you look at the way the numbers have kind of played out, they've been doing this, percentage chance of making the playoff, week over week with all the different teams. And, they show A&M in Texas. And, we're pretty healthily into our slate compared to everybody else with the SEC, and we're undefeated. And if you
Yeah.
look at our upcoming schedule, we're not talking about Alabama. We're not talking about Georgia. We're not talking about Tennessee. We're not talking
Ole
about
Miss.
none of those guys are on the schedule this year. We, as far as that side of things, we came out pretty clean. Yeah, you got those bastards from South Carolina. You've got LSU coming in, right? And of course, you got Texas on the schedule. Those are all going to be very interesting games. Hell, Auburn historically will come up and bite you,
Right, but
especially
we
in the
have
years when
this
they're not supposed to.
Auburn's on the road, right?
Auburn's on the road.
Yeah, generally the road team always wins that. So that's one I think has fallen off my radar. And also because it's a little bit further
It's a
down the
way
line.
off, but like where we stand right now, as far as the schedule, Texas hasn't really played anybody yet.
No.
And the one SEC, I mean, you played a,
You played the worst one.
yeah, you played the worst SEC team you could possibly play this year, and you've played a Michigan team that has no bullets left in the gun. Okay. You are coming into the meat of your SEC schedule now with Oklahoma, with Georgia, and then going on from there.
Yeah.
Let's see what you got. And see if it'll maintain it from there. Another question we had was from Jonna. She did say, best
No,
ways
she
to.
had three questions. We asked for questions. We wouldn't ask for questions from each person. We asked for a question each.
Yeah, she,
But
you know her. She
fine.
likes to ask multiple questions, and that's fine by me. But
She is quite inquisitive.
so best ways to spend a bye weekend. Thoughts on the back half of the season. We've pretty much touched on that. We're not going to go down that road. But then,
Yeah, we won't touch back half of the season just yet. In fact, I think we just kind of accidentally answered it talking about John's question.
And then when I become an NIL expert, do I get to be a guest?
Maybe. All right. What
Maybe.
was the first one though? Best way to spend the bye weekend?
Yeah, best way to spend the bye weekend.
So I had actually planned on going on a fishing trip, but unfortunately my wife's not feeling well, so I don't want to kind of push it. But quite frankly, one of the best ways to spend this bye weekend is watching a ton of really great football. I mean,
Indeed.
it's a great slate. We're not gonna lose, right? Like you don't have there's no unless you're gambling, you have no skin in the game. But it should be a ton of fun matchups in football. The weather is beautiful. If you can go, like, cause that's the thing in Texas. I mean, it's October. Yeah, it's early to mid-October. It's not fishing season, but the weather's been warm enough to where it's still fishing season.
Oh, yeah.
But there's always the yard work thing and now we get two buys, right, a year. So you have 2 weekends to get crap done around the house, right? And
Right.
if you're married, get it done so you don't have to hear about it on game weekends.
Mm
But I would tell you the best way to spend your bye weekend is go to weddings. Because any people that schedule weddings that are not on bye weekends are not nice people. They're not your friends.
Well, I mean, especially if you know there's a big contingent of your people and you happen to go to a large college where college football is kind of important, it's one of those deals where you either book it in the spring, summer, you just avoid the hell out of the fall or shoot for a bye weekend. It's about
Or
that.
I will give you one option. And again, this is a wedding. So even though it's her big day, it really is both of y'all's big day, right? Book it. If for some reason the only way you can do it is on a game weekend, make the reception a watch party.
That's a good way to do it.
I'm just out here spitting fire. But yeah,
Yeah.
best way to spend the bye weekend. Honestly, go camping, go fishing, go spend it with your family. If you're close enough and you're able to and they're still around, go see your folks, hang out with friends. Do all the stuff that you can't do the other 12 weekends of the fall. And especially this bye weekend, because there's no guarantee on the weather the next bye weekend. This weekend going to be beautiful, especially if you're in Bryan-College Station. Go out, enjoy it, do everything you can, get outdoors, get some fresh air. Because like I said, the second bye week, weather may not be great, and I'm gonna segue that into kind of our little outro here. But again, speaking about weather, I thought it was just important for Rob to kind of explain these things. So when you're looking at it on the TV and you see the big swirly thing with the different colors, you kind of get it. But when you see the actual stats they're giving you in the numbers, it's important to understand whether you live in an area that something is inbound, or you have friends or family that live in that area, and they can be like, it doesn't seem that bad. And you can say, well, turns out actually, mathematically, it's that bad. And so I
Yeah.
just I'm really thankful that Rob's able to explain all that stuff. And hopefully y'all took something from it. That said, enjoy the bye weekend. I hope
Yes.
anybody that's listening to this that may be affected or is affected is already out or is on the road listening to this getting out.
Yes. And if you happen to be in the Arlington area this Saturday, it is bye week. We're playing with Aaron Watson this Saturday, so we're back at it. Which is
That's
exciting.
right.
Yep.
You got show there, and that's right.
Assuming Carson and Carly don't decide to have their baby Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. So that's what we're currently waiting out for. We're holding. We're in a holding pattern for the baby. But because the baby was due on the second, and we're at the eighth, and still no baby.
The baby will come when the baby is ready to show up.
Exactly. So we're just kind of waiting for her. And if we get a chance to play, we play. If we don't, I'll announce on socials that we won't be there. But
So if you're looking for the show, make sure you are following Rob on all his socials. They
yeah.
will put all out. Rob, your socials are.
Also, I'm Rob the Slapper on Instagram and on X. And be sure to follow Roy, Roy May 15, and Roy May Jr. on X and Instagram, respectively.
And also, if he's got some news, like some breaking news, and you don't follow us personally for whatever reason, I can think of a few why you wouldn't follow me. I get it. But I have no, yeah, we'll make sure that Rob puts it out on our Red Ass stuff too, just in case it was some sort of breaking news, whether the show's going to get canceled or not. So if he's able
Yeah.
to, see if we can get it shared out so you guys can see it from whatever platform you're looking at.
Oh, yes.
I appreciate all y'all listening. If you enjoy this, please like, subscribe, comment, share, get your friends involved. Obviously, this is a Red Ass podcast. It's very, very maroon and white.
It's very
But we
maroon and
do
white.
like
It's very fun, free. We just kind of do what we want and have a good time with it.
it's politics free, man.
Yep. And so leave that to everybody else on the other platforms. We're just here to have fun.
Sports, fun, music, and BS, man. Oh, and food. Lots of food stuff.
Lots of
I am
food.
fat and I do like food and I do like to cook,
Oh
so.
man, I ate so good on the cruise, but I'll get into that. It's all good. All right. I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the hell out of the bye week.